I ain't put no ice in it, bro.
I didn't. I don't know. I don't need no ice. Ready? Welcome to Wise Guys on the Never Not Working Network. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Not much. Follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_OH. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. So yesterday, I went tailgating for the first time.
Oh yeah, it was a great time.
Let's get right into it. I went tailgating for the first time yesterday. It was a great experience, and I seen some Packer fans down there. It was great going to Bengals tailgating and seeing Packer fans in the house.
You seen three Packers fans?
No, I seen more than that.
You seen three Packers fans? I was with you the whole time.
I seen people come to me and say,
and all three of them had Bengals gear on. They just walked up to you because they seen you had a Packers.
I seen a couple Packers shirts, man. Come on now, don't do that. But it was just amazing how the Bengals fans were so excited for the upcoming season. This was about, I say, about 11:05 a.m. And then turn around about 3 p.m., I see Bengals fans on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram going crazy after the Baltimore Ravens defeated your Bengals 20-0. In that game, Andy Dalton went 16-31, 170 yards, 4 interceptions. Joe Flacco, 9-17, 121 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Bengals offense racked up 221 total yards. So, is it time to push the panic button on your Cincinnati Bengals? We're going to start off with you today. Because I know you got a lot to say.
Because that's your problem, Trey. Already, is it time to put the panic? Is it time to push the panic button? Hell no, it's not time to push the panic button. It's week one. It's game one. In the grand scheme of things, it's only one game. But you're right. We were downtown. All Bengals family were downtown early Sunday morning, 6 in the morning.
Right.
You know, turned up, excited for the season, booing every Ravens fan that walked by. You know, you was down there. You seen everything that happened. We were excited. And then you get out there and then you get a shutout, 20-0. The Bengals' worst loss since the shutout game versus Cleveland at home. It was a horrible game. Andy Dalton had a horrible game. The offensive line had a horrible game. Zam Peace, the offensive coordinator, he's shitty. He's horrible. He needs to be fired. They need to bring somebody else in ASAP if he's going to keep playing like that. I mean, calling plays like that, but it was a horrible game. But I do want to mention to everybody out there that that's all it was. It was just a horrible game. I've seen Tom Brady throw 4 interceptions in a game. I've seen Peyton Manning throw 4 interceptions in a game. I've seen Drew Brees throw 5 interceptions in a game. And these are all quarterbacks that you claim are elite quarterbacks. I've seen them have bad games, horrible games, and come back have great seasons. I've seen Peyton Manning have a horrible game and come back win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I'm not too discouraged yet. And all the Bengals fans, fake Bengals fans out there that's already ready to throw the whole team away, fire everybody. You know, are you a real Bengals fan? Ask yourself that question. Are you a real Bengals fan? Or are you just a hater like Trey?
So now
you're a hater like Trey. Hold on. Because if you're a hater like Trey, you might as well just be a Green Bay Packers fan, be a Steelers fan, be something else. But all that, we don't need that here in Cincinnati. We don't need y'all throwing stuff at Andy Dalton, running out to the tunnel after the game, talking about we want Carson back.
Right.
We want him to have a good game Thursday. So it's not time to put the panic. It's not time to push the panic button. It's time to reevaluate things and get this train going.
It's gotten so bad for your Cincinnati Bengals that now you're questioning your fellow Cincinnati Bengals loyalty. You up here sitting up there telling me that telling me about your other Bengals fans out there who don't support the Bengals because they being real. That's the problem with you. You're a delusional fan. That's the issue. So you got those fans out there that are realistic. They love their team, but they know realistic expectations. Talk to Cleveland Browns fans. They know all about it. Because it's a lot of loyal Cleveland Browns fans out there. And the Browns have been terrible for years. And some fans are just realistic. You're not a realistic fan.
No, I'm a realistic fan.
You're a delusional fan.
No, they're called fair weather fans.
You're called a hater.
If Aaron Rodgers went out there and threw 4 interceptions.
If Aaron Rodgers went out there and threw four interceptions, stop it.
In one game, I don't care who the quarterback is. If your starting quarterback, your franchise quarterback, not just your starting quarterback, but your franchise quarterback. Everybody in the city knows, the organization knows, this is your franchise quarterback. He goes out there and have a bad game. You give him the benefit of the doubt for that one bad game.
Now,
if he comes out here and does this again, then we have a problem.
Listen.
But this one bad game, it's not time to push the panic button.
You lost all credibility once you said Andy Dalton was a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Your credibility went down.
All three. I just named three quarterbacks that threw 4 or 5 interceptions. I just named three quarterbacks that threw 4 or 5 interceptions in one game, and all three of them are Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
All three of them are quarterbacks and are Super Bowl quarterbacks.
You are the one that's trying to...
You can't get away with this when you're already the starting quarterback of your team, but it's questionable whether or not you should be. When I said that A.J. McCarron has a chance to lead this Bengals offense as good as, if not better, than Andy Dalton, not everyone agreed with you emphatically. Some people out there were saying, like, oh, Trey got a point. I understand where Trey's coming from. I'm sure you remember the one point people gave you credit for. Everybody was basically saying that I had a legitimate point. And all I said was, if you're not an elite quarterback, which Andy Dalton clearly is not, then if you lose your starting quarterback, the expectations does not fly out the window for your team. Because you can put your backup in and pick up right where they left off. A.J. McCarron would not have done as bad as Andy Dalton did yesterday.
You tripping.
I feel like at some point we should have seen A.J. McCarron yesterday. Andy Dalton did that bad. He was an embarrassment to himself. He was an embarrassment to the city. It was a bad all-around performance.
I agree with you.
The pick that he threw in the end zone to C.J. Mosley. Terrible throw. That was the second interception, I believe. You get down to the red zone. Bengals got a chance to take the lead. And he throws a terrible pass with two Ravens defenders in the end zone. What are you thinking, Andy? Like, that was a terrible throw. The throw he threw the Brandon Carr. That was a bad interception. The one interception I gave him.
What's a good interception?
The one interception when a pass get tipped up at the line of scrimmage.
Two interceptions was tipped passes.
But what about the pass in the end zone?
Okay.
Brandon Carr, that interception was terrible.
Okay.
The fumble. What about the fumble? He had 5 turnovers yesterday, not 4. He had 5. Again, the problem is with the Cincinnati Bengals. I tell you this all the time. Talent-wise, the Bengals got one of the top teams in the NFL. They've had that for the last couple years. But the problem is Marvin Lewis doesn't have the guts as a head coach to go to a young quarterback like A.J. McCarron in the need of an emergency. Yesterday was an emergency. Yesterday was urgent.
Trey.
We need to call 911 down there.
Calm down.
It was bad.
You spitting, you slobbing on yourself. I know you excited, bro, but you slobbing on yourself. I knew you couldn't wait to get in here and try to clown the Bengals, but that just goes to your football knowledge. It was not an emergency. How can in any situation in game one of the regular season, it's an emergency? Never in history is that the truth.
Hold on.
That was not the truth that day. And I agree, Andy Dalton had a horrible game. I wouldn't have been opposed to throwing A.J. McCarron in the fourth quarter just because of how bad of a game he was having. But that doesn't mean that Andy Dalton's still not the starting quarterback. Yeah, that doesn't mean that you believe Andy Dalton's gonna go out here and have another game like that? No.
I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, I'm telling you. You can make a legitimate argument. They lost that game yesterday simply because of Andy Dalton.
Hold on, you're missing points. That's how I know you don't have the football knowledge. It wasn't simply because of Andy Dalton. Yes, Andy Dalton have a horrible game. When you're the quarterback, you take the majority of the blame. But let's be real about it. You always want to talk about breaking it down. Our offensive line was horrible. Andy Dalton was out there running for his life against Terrell Suggs on his weak side, who we had a horrible left guard over there. That had to do something with at least 2 of those interceptions. I'm not trying to blame excuses to everybody else, but that's just the truth. The offensive line's horrible. We gave up Whitworth and Zyler like we all noted before the season started. Even though we got all this talent, how are we going to be able to hide how bad our offensive line is?
Let me say something.
In critical games.
This is the first game.
Hold on.
We're going to talk about the Packers and Seahawks next. But I watched the Seahawks yesterday. Their offensive line is atrocious. And Russell Wilson didn't throw one interception. So what are you saying? It ain't about the offensive line whether or not you turn the football over. Take a sack. Punt the football.
Their offensive line is horrible.
When you turn the football over, you put your defense in a bad position because the other offense has a short field. This is the thing about it. The Baltimore Ravens only had 268 yards yesterday, which is decent. But they didn't really.
Shouts out to our defense, because that's the other key positive side for that game. Our defense looked great without Pac-Man and Vontaze.
But this is the point I'm making. It ain't like Baltimore played great. Baltimore didn't play great yesterday. They won 20-0. Baltimore played mediocre at best. Joe Flacco had 121 passing yards.
Okay.
And they beat the Bengals by 3 touchdowns.
So it's time to push the panic button.
It's time to push the panic button.
So is it time?
Franchise that it is. We're talking about Cincinnati Bengals here. A franchise that hasn't won a playoff game since either one of us been born. We come from the same friend circle. Nobody in our friend circle has ever witnessed a Bengals playoff victory. That is a problem. That is an issue. We're talking about the Bengals. We ain't talking about Patriots. We ain't talking about the Broncos.
We ain't talking
about the Packers. We're talking about the Bengals. The Bengals was the laughing stock of the NFL in the 90s.
So you prove my point. So if we've never won anything, then why is it now the time to push the panic button, Trey? You just spitting hate. You just spitting hating shit out there.
What
the Bengals had a horrible game.
Is it time
for the Patriots to push the panic button?
No, because Tom Brady got five Super Bowl rings.
Is it time for the Seattle Seahawks to push the panic button?
They won.
Is it time for the Panthers, who had a horrible game yesterday, to push the panic button?
The Panthers beat the 49ers yesterday.
But they all had, the quarterbacks had horrible games.
Those quarterbacks have won MVPs.
This game, this week one, was a horrific show of quarterbacks in week one. Quarterback across the whole board had horrible games. Andy Dalton had the worst of the games. It's okay. It's week one. Now, if he comes out here and does the same thing again next week, then you got an argument. I'm with you. But come on, you got to give the guy a chance. It's only week one. We got a horrible offensive line like we all knew before coming in the season. The offensive coordinator, the plays were horrible. But, you know, I'm not making any excuses. It was a horrible game for Cincinnati. And that's all I got to say.
But I'm going
to
say this. I'm going to say this,
too. It's all right.
Shout out to the Baltimore Ravens defense, because I was wrong. I've said before week one, I didn't see the Baltimore Ravens having a top 10 defense this year. I was wrong. I was clearly wrong about that, because Terrell Suggs, he had six total tackles, two sacks. You know, they still got Eric Weddle. They brought in Brandon Carr in free agency. This Baltimore Ravens defense is solid. Yeah, they got C.J. Mosley as well. They got a solid defense. I was wrong, so I'm sorry. I got to send my condolences and say apologies to all Ravens fans. Because I said last week their defense was going to be terrible. And their defense was legit yesterday. And I'm expecting that Baltimore Ravens defense to keep them in the hunt for a possible playoff berth. I don't see them beating Pittsburgh. I don't see it happening. I think Pittsburgh are going to run away with the division. But I believe that Baltimore Ravens defense can be legit. And they can be a top five NFL defense. And they can keep the Baltimore Ravens in contention for a playoff spot. But the thing is, they have a legitimate defense. Offensively, I wasn't really impressed with Baltimore yesterday. But the Bengals offensively were so terrible, it didn't really matter. It didn't even matter. And yesterday was so bad, we didn't even get to see the young rookie Joe Mixon show his talents. That's how bad it was, because the Bengals was down early. The game got away from the Bengals, and since the game got away, Joe Mixon got taken out of the game plan because they had to pass the ball. They had to pass the football,
Trey,
and he wasn't even in.
Are you finished or are you done?
I'm just saying, man.
We got beat 20-0. I said I agree. We know it was a horrible game. But you, like I said, you couldn't wait to get in here. You just went 15 minutes spitting all over the place, bro.
Let's get to
you was real on. Excited about let's that. Let's move on to another
preview.
Game.
No, that's the preview. Let's preview the Texans and Bengals.
No, we're going to get to that later.
Okay.
We got Green Bay. Preview game of the week last week. Green Bay Packers versus the Seattle Seahawks. Your Packers won 17-9. What was your biggest take from that game?
My biggest takeaway was that the Green Bay Packers offensively are still a legitimate top offense. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he had 311 passing yards. He threw for 28 of 42, one touchdown, one bad pick six. It happens. It's rare. Aaron Rodgers really throws interceptions, but he had a bad pick six. He had a relatively pedestrian first half overall.
Pedestrian.
But in the second half, In the second half, Aaron Rodgers bounced back against the top defense in the NFL. But yesterday, I seen the best, arguably, let me make this clear, arguably the best defense in the NFL also playing with the worst offense in the NFL. So yesterday, everybody was talking about how great my Packers defense did. And I think we had a pretty decent game. Shout out to Mike Daniels. Mike Daniels had the strip sack on Russell Wilson in the third quarter. That changed the whole complexion of the football game. He sacked Russell Wilson at like the 6-yard line. Packers recover. We go in for the touchdown on the next play. And we take the 7-3 lead. The thing is, though, Russell Wilson has no offensive line whatsoever. That Seahawks offense is terrible. Seriously. That offensive line is a joke. Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks organization should be embarrassed for that offensive line that they put on display for Russell Wilson.
Y'all didn't do that great of a job.
Listen, you let me finish, because we're talking about my Packers. We're talking about a winning organization. Let me talk. I know what winning football is. Yesterday, the Seattle Seahawks was so bad offensively, I can't give my Green Bay Packers defense but so much credit. But here's the deal. We're going to find out how good my Green Bay Packers defense is going to be this year, because we got Matty Ice and the Atlanta Falcons this upcoming Sunday in Atlanta. So I can't wait.
That's going to be a big game.
But overall, offensively, Aaron Rodgers is still our quarterback. You know we're going to be in the playoffs. You know we're going to win the NFC North. But defensively, I'm still remaining to see. I'm still trying to see how good my Packers defense is going to be. I'm not going to sit up here and get all excited because we only gave up 9 points to the Seattle Seahawks, because the Seattle Seahawks are an embarrassment as an overall offense. And the only thing they do got going for them is they got Russell Wilson. That's the only thing.
And, you know, that's the only thing the Packers have going for them is Aaron Rodgers. So I don't get your point there, Trey. You like to point shit out about other people.
You so worried about my quarterback.
No, I'm just saying.
You so worried about quarterback.
That was just interesting what you said. But overall, it was a boring game. It was a horrible game. It was a sloppy game. Aaron Rodgers didn't do anything spectacular to make you want to go out and clown the Seahawks. Like everything on their offense was horrible because your defense clearly didn't take great advantage of it until the second half. The first half, your boy Aaron Rodgers didn't put up any points.
We're playing against the top defense in the NFL. But
you, 0 points, and that defense didn't look like a top defense last night, Trey. And you know this. They didn't look like a top defense yesterday, and your boy didn't put up any points in the first half. It was a sloppy game. It was an ugly game. You were fascinated because you won, but one key problem I point out, you're rushing. Y'all lost on the rushing yards, 84 to 90. Y'all both, they had a horrible rushing offense. Y'all had a horrible rushing offense. And your quarterback one putting up yards in the first half. Y'all squeaked it out at the end because I agree with you. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. But as overall, as your Packers, there's nothing happening in that game Sunday to make me really believe that they can win a Super Bowl this year. Out of the teams that we've seen play on Saturday, on Sunday, that was one of the worst games on TV that day.
But it was a sloppy game. But here's the deal. This is coming from a winning culture. It ain't always going to be pretty. See, that's the thing about it. This is a winning team we're talking about. The Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots, the Denver Broncos. Every time you win, it ain't always going to be pretty. See, you like everything to be pretty. You like everything to be nice. Everything ain't like that. Think about a marriage. In a marriage, you married. Everything in marriage ain't always beautiful. You have times when it's rough patches along the way.
My marriage
You have times when it's struggle.
My marriage it just happens. Is beautiful.
I'm happy for you and Lante. I'm happy for y'all. But I'm just saying overall, in marriages, things happen. That's the same thing with football. Sometimes you win games that aren't pretty. You win games not playing your best football. And I just said, defensively, I'm not sold on the Packers defense. But we're going to find out this week when we travel to Atlanta and take on Matty Ice and that high-powered Atlanta Falcons offense. So I can't wait to see it. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Let me be clear about this. If my Green Bay Packers have a top 10 defense in the NFL, we are winning the Super Bowl. And it won't even be close. Because we got the greatest quarterback in pro football right now already. So offensively, you know we're going to put up points. We got a great receiving core and Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson, and Randall Cobb.
I don't know if that's great.
Look it up on USA Today. They rated us one of the top receiving cores in the NFL.
One of them.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is we already got the solid offense. We already know we put up points. Offensively, we can do it with the best. And we got Martellus Bennett, which I think was the most underrated signing in the free agent market in the offseason. Martellus Bennett really brings a different element to the Packers offense because Aaron Rodgers has not had a solid tight end since your Michael Finley retired. You throw in Martellus Bennett, Ty Montgomery, who was switched over to running back last year with a top 10 defense in the NFL, and we got the players to do it. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix is a Pro Bowler. Clay Matthews has been to the Pro Bowl, one of the top outside linebackers in the NFL. We got Mike Daniels, who had a game yesterday, a game of his life yesterday. He balled out. So I'm telling you, if we have a top 10 defense in the NFL, the Packers will win the Super Bowl. True or no? True or false?
I mean, if we had a great offensive line, we would win the Super Bowl. We can all say
if this. There's nothing definitive about the Bengals. What's definitive about the Packers is Aaron Rodgers.
What it comes down to is we just going to have to see what happens this season. You can if all you want. After that one win, you're real excited. And I would be excited, too, off of that first week win. But it's a long football season. We all know it's hard to win in the NFL. Any team can win at any given week. Yeah. So we just taking week one. You taking week one like it's the Super Bowl. You talking about a team that all we care about is the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
That's all we care
but
about.
You came in here so hype off of the week one regular season
What's
game
hype?
This week.
What's hype? Trey, you talking about your biggest week first game here, not my Packers.
You just slobbed all over the whole desk.
How hype you was
off of playing off of the Packers.
But I'm
gonna
say this.
I want to say this about the Seattle game yesterday. We lost this week. I can take that.
I want to say this about the Seattle game. Pete Carroll has a legitimate beef with the refs yesterday because there was a bad call yesterday. The pick six. When Seattle got the pick six on Aaron Rodgers, they called a bogus block in the back. It was bogus. They end up ejecting the defensive back for the Seahawks. I can't think of his name.
DeAndre Lane.
Yeah, they ejected him yesterday. So they let him go. And I don't think they say he threw a punch. I didn't see him throw a punch against the
Seahawks.
I didn't like that call. But the block in the back was questionable. It was questionable. It's almost like, what were you doing? Because he wasn't going to catch that lineman. Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be able to tackle him. So I don't even understand why he even touched Aaron Rodgers. That was a problem. You can't even put yourself in that position in a defensive battle. Like in a game like that, you need every point you can get. Given the fact that your offense ain't putting up no points, that was a bad move on Cliff Avril's part for even touching Aaron Rodgers. Made the call, bad call. And then I will admit the Jimmy Graham play back in the end zone. It was pass interference. It was a blatant pass interference that the refs missed. But nevertheless, Packers won 17-9. We move on to week two. We facing Matty Ice and the Falcons next week. It's going to be an exciting matchup. Sunday night primetime. It's going to be a great one. I can't wait for
it. I will be watching. It's going to be a good game. I can't wait to see how that game turns out. But, you know, nobody really cares about the Packers. I'm sure none of our listeners really care about what happened in the third quarter on this interception and this block in the back. You know, nobody really care about that, Trey. You're the only person that really care about that. So I'm glad you got to get that off your chest, Trey. Y'all won this week. Y'all won this week, and we lost this week. You got me. I can't say shit. I got nothing to say.
But this is what I want to tell you, though, before we get into our wise and last segment. I want to say this. You know your Bengals are in danger of going 0-3? They got Houston this week. It's going to be a tough matchup. We'll break it down here in a little bit. They got Houston, then they got to go to Lambeau. That's a loss. And the problem is, we know that's a loss. The problem is, they didn't have Pac-Man in this matchup. But think about it. Even if
didn't have Pac-Man or Vontaze.
But think about it. Vontaze perfect did play.
And our defense still looked great.
And he threw four receptions. It wouldn't matter. What would Vontaze have done? He would have been out there probably pissed off. And it probably would have been altercation on the sideline. Because Vontaze don't play that. You know, Vontaze would have pissed off. Damn, we doing our part defensively. You throwing all these damn picks.
Trey, it's one game.
That would have been all right.
It's one game.
That's all I'm saying, man.
It's one game. It's week one.
He's just amazing.
You the one that says. You said this about the Bengals. We have nothing left to prove in the regular season. It's all about what we can do in the playoffs. This one game right here is not telling us anything about the Bengals. What's tell us something about the Bengals if we make it to the playoffs and lose in the first round again? Other than that, this is just one game in the grand scheme of things. And you know this, but you just wanted to come in here and argue. I let you have it because when we win and we have that week and y'all have that bad week, best believe I will be coming in here hard on you.
Like I said, it's just amazing how the time frame between 11 and probably about 2:30, because I think Andy Dalton threw two picks in the first half, so it was already over. It's amazing. The bipolarness that I've seen on Facebook and social media from Bengal fans. Everybody was excited, and then about 2:30, Andy Dalton took the air out of the stadium with those bad interceptions.
He did.
And y'all not loyal fans. Bengals fans aren't loyal because they already given up on the entire season. But I understand why, because the Bengals haven't shown any kind of reluctance to make you think otherwise. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs. Marvin Lewis should have been fired 2 years ago.
Trey,
there's no kind of sense of we're going in the right direction. Trey, where? That's all I'm asking.
Are you finished? Are you done? Are we going to move on to the next?
We can move on. But
you've been sitting here trying to talk for 20 minutes.
I'm just saying, we can move
on. It's okay. We know we lost 20-0. It was a bad week. We got Thursday night primetime this Thursday here in Cincinnati. And the real Bengals fans, we will be back downtown, turned up, excited, just like we were Sunday. So this doesn't phase anything about us. We will still be down there ready to support and ready to see if we're going to have a good game on Thursday.
We'll see what happens. Let's move on to the Wiser Lies segment of the day. And the Cowboys defeated the Giants yesterday, 19-3, and Odell Beckham Jr. did not play. So the question is it wise or is it lie? Is it wise or a lie to say that the Giants severely missed Odell Beckham last night against the Cowboys? 19-3, Cowboys came out on top. So is it wise or lies to say they severely missed Odell Beckham?
I mean, it's super wise, which leads back to the point where you were wrong, a couple weeks ago when we argued who was more important to the team, Le'Veon Bell to the Steelers or Odell Beckham to the Giants. And it was obvious that Odell Beckham is 10 times more important to the Giants than Le'Veon Bell is to the Steelers. The Giants couldn't move the ball at all on offense Sunday versus the Cowboys. Le'Veon Bell had a horrible game Sunday, and the Steelers still won in a close battle game versus a division rival.
But Le'Veon Bell hasn't been in camp. Le'Veon Bell hasn't got any kind of reps.
That means that if Le'Veon Bell is not there, the Steelers still can win. When Odell Beckham is not there, the Giants obviously can't even move the ball.
The Steelers everybody played the Browns yesterday, and
it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Like I said, that's a divisional game. They play each other two times a year, every year. You can game plan for that and always make that a rough and tough game. Always. The Giants versus the Cowboys, it was completely obvious. They couldn't do anything versus that Dallas Cowboys defense. But shout out to the Cowboys defense. They looked great out there. But they brought Brandon Marshall in thinking he was going to be that great of a quarterback. He had a horrible game. He caught one pass, and it was at the end of the game.
Yeah.
It was in the fourth quarter. They was talking about this is going to be his first game since his rookie season without a catch in the game. He caught it in the fourth quarter, so he had a horrible game. The offense was atrocious. So, obviously, Odell Beckham is everything in New York right now, for New York sports, period. The Giants, the Yankees, everything. Odell Beckham is New York right now because Melo ain't doing shit.
There you go again, man. You always try to find a way to try to knock one of my guys that I like or who I'm a fan of, but I'm not even going to go there with you. I think it's a lie to actually say that the Giants severely missed Odell Beckham last night because I don't think the reason why they lost was because of receiver play. I think they lost because their offensive line is terrible. The Giants are another team. The offensive line is atrocious. Like, they have no kind of protection for Eli Manning, and that's the biggest issue. You would think a team like the New York Giants, who've won Super Bowls, would be protecting Eli Manning better than they are. They don't have no kind of offensive line for Eli, and that's the biggest issue. You know, yesterday, Eli Manning went 29 of 38. He threw for 220 passing yards, no touchdowns, one interception with a passer rating of 78.8. So yesterday, Eli Manning was really, really mediocre at best. But that's because the offensive line is so terrible.
No, it's because Odell Beckham wasn't there.
No, it's because of the offensive line. And you ain't got no protection. You can't throw the ball down the field anyway.
What's the difference between this year's offensive line? What's the big difference between this year's offensive line and last year's offensive line for the New York Giants? I don't recall any big movements made on that offensive line. It's the same team. The only difference in week one from last year is Odell Beckham was not playing. But they got out. New York Giants had 13 first downs. The Dallas Cowboys had 22. Cowboys had how many passing yards? 263 passing yards. The New York Giants had 198 with Brandon Marshall, who they thought was about to be a star on the team. And the Cowboys had Ezekiel Elliott. So, you know, there was a run first team anyways. Des Bryant's not looking all that. They're a run first team anyways, and they still have more passing yards than the Giants had, more first down right. than the Giants had. All of that is because Odell Beckham was not in
but
the
Giants also time are one-dimensional. Wait a minute.
One-sided.
It was.
Because the offense couldn't stay on the field.
The Giants are one-dimensional. They have no running game to speak of. Why? Because they don't have an offensive line. That's the point I'm making. Yesterday, the Cowboys had 129 rushing yards. The Giants, 35.
Yeah, that's horrible.
The Giants don't have no running game. They're one-dimensional. When you're a one-dimensional football team, offensively, you take a step back because the defense knows what's coming. You've become predictable. And that's the problem with the Giants.
But this same Giants beat the Cowboys last year.
They beat them. I mean, it happened.
They beat them twice last year with the same team. With the same team. So you just bringing up stuff that doesn't really matter. The real point is that Odell Beckham was not playing. Because like we was arguing before the show, Odell Beckham is a great wide receiver. Arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. So you take him off that team. Obviously the offense was stagnant. Obviously they couldn't do anything. And they lost. And the Steelers won with Le'Veon Bell barely doing anything. So your point is wrong. Odell Beckham, obviously more important to the Giants.
We don't even argue in that. So why are you even going there?
I'm See, just saying.
You want to just argue. That wasn't the question.
It's the truth.
You always want to change the question. The question was wise or lies to say that they should really
and
miss
And I said
Odell.
It was wise.
But you talking about Le'Veon Bell. No, I don't want we're not talking about that. Stick to the topic. Let's move on. As the Jacksonville Jaguars, this probably was a surprise of the day. The Jacksonville Jaguars defeated the Houston Texans 29-7. And Bill O'Brien benched Tom Savage and brought in Deshaun Watson. So is it wise or lies to say Bill O'Brien made a mistake by starting Savage over Watson to begin the season?
Like I said, last or 2 weeks ago, it was the right move to start Tom Savage. He was the more experienced with the offense. DeAndre Hopkins vouched for him. DeAndre Hopkins is their offense. He vouched for Tom Savage over Deshaun Watson. So like I said, you got to at least give him that shot. You're going to at least start him in that week one to see what he can do. And if he shows signs that he's not playing good at all, then you got a reason to pull him out and put Deshaun Watson in. But it definitely wasn't a bad move because why would you throw Deshaun Watson straight off the back when your offense, the key of your offense, vouched for the other guy?
Because the reason why it is wise to say that Bill O'Brien made a mistake was because of how fast he pulled Tom Savage. The fact that he pulled Tom Savage at halftime shows me he was already debating back and forth between the two quarterbacks. That shows me he already felt like Deshaun Watson was going to be the starter at some point. Because if not, he could have kept Tom Savage in for this game and maybe two more games to see what Tom Savage could have done. He brought in and pulled him out at halftime, which proves my point that it was a debatable topic and debate whether or not Savage or Watson should be the starting quarterback. And I'm of the belief if you drafted this kid, you moved up 12 spots in the draft. We know Deshaun Watson had an outstanding college career, 41 touchdowns, 17 interceptions last year, won the back-to-back national championship games. He's a winner. Why not start Deshaun Watson to start the season instead of starting him at halftime when the game was already over and meaningless?
Because he didn't win the spot. If he would have won, he would have started week one. Simple as that, bro. That's the NFL.
What's so funny
Everybody is, knows that the best man's going to win the spot. This isn't college.
Clearly, he wasn't freshman, the best man.
Freshman can play. Anybody can play. Tom Savage started the game. I'm talking about before the game started. Tom Savage was the starter. He earned that spot. and he messed up in the first half and they put it out. But more than that, I really think it was the Houston was just trying to figure out what's going on because they weren't expecting Leonard Fournette to have such a great game he like did. He did.
He did play well.
You know, he had 26 carries for 100 yards and a touchdown, and he was catching the ball out of the backfield. He was doing everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like the Texans just, they got nervous a little bit, and they just acted all real giddy off of the conscience and threw Deshaun Watson in the halftime. I don't know why they did that, but either way, Tom Savage was the best way to go. It was wise to start Tom.
But shout out to Deshaun Watson because he had 102 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception. So he came in and produced immediately, and I think he will be the starter moving forward. But we'll see what happens because they play the Bengals Thursday night. So let's move on as Baker Mayfield and the Oklahoma Sooners. They beat OSU in Columbus Saturday night. So did Mayfield increase his chances of winning the Heisman? Is it wise or lies to say that Baker Mayfield increased his chances of winning the Heisman after beating Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday night? Did he increase his chances?
I don't see why it wouldn't be wise to say that. If you beat Ohio State in Ohio State and you were already a Heisman candidate before the season, that can't do nothing but boost your chances to win the Heisman. You know, that's giving you a big boost over everything. At the end of the year, when they look back and see what happened between these Heisman candidates, they're going to look at the numbers, then they're going to look at the games they played, who they beat, how they beat them. And, you know, it's hard to go into Buckeye Stadium and beat Ohio State. You know, JT Barrett's a four-year quarterback. They got experience over there, a great coach, and he went in there and won that game, even though I don't know what the hell was going on with Ohio State. But Baker Mayfield, I like Baker Mayfield. He's my before-the-season pick for the Heisman candidate, I mean, for the Heisman Trophy, so it's definitely wise to say that that boosted his chances of winning the Heisman.
See, I don't believe it did because this is the thing about it. Lamar Jackson is having an outstanding season so far. I mean, he threw for over 300 yards against North Carolina. He had over 100 rushing yards. So I'm thinking the thing about it is Lamar Jackson has been so dominant that you almost have to give him the Heisman if the Cardinals are competing for a playoff
spot. But like you say, Trey, don't change the narrative. The question is, did that boost his chances to winning the Heisman? And is that wise or lies?
That's a lie because of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson been playing so great.
So beating Ohio State in Ohio State doesn't boost your chances to win the Heisman?
No. Because Lamar Jackson been so dominant. Lamar Jackson been so dominant.
Right. It's a great win. That makes no sense, Trey. It's a great win. That makes no sense.
I understand the question.
You're discrediting everything you said on this show up to this point.
Baker Mayfield, I think he's a great quarterback.
Everything you said.
He's a great, young, promising quarterback. But I'm saying, Lamar Jackson being so dominant, it won't matter what Baker Mayfield does. That's the point I'm trying to make.
But that's not the question. Like, you keep pointing out to me every time. That's not the question. The question is, does beating Ohio State in Ohio State as Baker Mayfield boost your chances to winning the Heisman? How does it not? How can you say it's...
Because Lamar Jackson's so dominant. He's been dominating.
Hey, if you're listening, I just want y'all to hear what he's saying. I'm asking him a straight question, and he's Donald Trumping it. If you watched any of them debates, he's doing exactly what Donald Trump did. It's a straight-up question.
This is the one time I'm going to change the narrative, damn it. I'm saying that I think Lamar Jackson has been so dominant.
It's not
and
the
having
first
a great
time,
individual season. It's going to overtake what Baker Mayfield does. That's all I'm saying. Baker Mayfield is a great, young, promising quarterback. And I think Lamar Jackson been balling out so good, you're going to have to give him the Heisman at the end of the year. You have to.
Hey, one of these days, Trey, you're going to have to get your take and not be so biased, bro.
What am I biased about?
One of these days.
What are you talking about?
One of these days.
Think about it.
What's next? What we got next?
Wise or lies? We doing wise or lies? The next topic that we have, wise or lies? Is it wise or lies to say John Wall is the best two-way point guard in the NBA? Wise or lies?
That's a tough one. But I can't say that it's – I don't know. That's a good one.
Because
I would say it's wise to say that. It's wise to say that because you're not lying. Because it's definitely an argument. Because who else would you put over there? I would only put Russell Westbrook as the two-way point guard. And you can argue that John Wall is better than Russell Westbrook as a two-way point guard. I like John Wall. He does everything.
Better than Russell two-way, though?
But what point guard really plays defense in the NBA? Like, point guards in the NBA now play defense when they want to. So it's hard to even say, can you be the best two-way point guard? I would have to go wise because, hell yeah, you could say it. Because if he want to play defense more this point in the season, he can do it. And he'll be the better two-way point guard.
I agree. I think John Wall is the best two-way point guard in the NBA. You know, he's great defensively, being able to guard opposing guards. You know, he got tenacity on the defensive end. And then we all know what he brings offensively, getting to the cup. I think he still got to improve on his jump shot. He has to have a better consistent jump shot to be the best point guard in the NBA. But you know what's so funny is, let me ask you a question. Who's the best point guard in the NBA? Like, best point guard, just pure point guard, period. Not two-way, who's the best?
Steph Curry.
So Steph Curry's the best.
Steph Curry's the best point guard in the NBA.
But you said John Wall's the best two-way point guard in the NBA, right?
I said it's argue. I said you can argue.
Between him and Russell Westbrook, right?
As two-way playing defense. Right. And like I said, no point guard really plays defense in the NBA. So you can argue any. I'm saying what I just said. I'm saying you can argue that all the elite point guards can be the best two-way player.
But who else plays defense? John Wall and Russell Westbrook. They actually play. I see Russell Westbrook and John Wall literally night to night play defense. I don't see Steph Curry play defense. I don't see Chris Paul play defense. I don't see Dame Lillard
I don't see Chris Paul play defense. Or Kawhi, but Steph Curry is in a defensive scheme team. He's always playing defense. The whole team plays defense. That's why they're always the best defensive team in the NBA. So you can put Steph Curry as the best two-way point guard. And I say Steph Curry is the best point guard.
He's not the best two-way point guard. He's the best point guard. He's not better than John Wall's two-way point guard. But the point I was trying to make to you was real quick was this. You remember I told you that you could be the best two-way player at a particular position, but that doesn't mean you're the best player.
But that's not what I just said.
That is the
point,
because you just said Steph Curry the best, and John Wall and Russell Westbrook are the best two-way players.
I did not say that.
You didn't say Steph Curry was the best
point
guard? I said
you can argue that any of the top point guards can be the best two-way point guard because none of them really play defense. I did not say that John Wall was the best two-way point guard.
Okay. You changing everything up, man. You all over the place, man. No, I'm not. You all over the place, man. Anyways, is it wise or lies to say the Celtics won the Kyrie Isaiah Thomas trade?
I've been on record saying since the beginning that it's been an even trade. So I'm saying it's a lie because it's an even trade. Because the Celtics, you get Kyrie Irving, who's a superstar. So no matter what else you gave up, you came up on Kyrie Irving. And then the Cavaliers, you come up on Isaiah Thomas that when he's healthy, they're going to have squad. They're going to be deep at every position. Him with Derrick Rose back there. Anybody playing with LeBron James, period, makes you better. And then Isaiah Thomas is already a great player, so that can only make him better. So it's an even trade. I don't really think the Celtics won the trade or lost the trade.
I think it was an even trade. I said it from the get-go. I think both teams won in this trade. When you the Cavaliers, from their perspective, you trade away Kyrie Irving. You don't got the animosity in the locker room between Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. And you bring in a top two-way player in the NBA in Jay Crowder, who can really help you against the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. I said that before. That's an issue that I had with Cleveland last year in the finals. They had a lot of players that did one particular thing well. Like, Iman Shumpert is a great perimeter defender, but he can't really shoot from the perimeter offensively. Kevin Love, he's great in the post, being able to create his own shot. But defensively, he's been a liability at times. But now you got a player in Jay Crowder who can play great offensively and get, you know, make some shots for you. And also he can play defense against Kevin Durant. He can spell LeBron when they're going up against the Golden State Warriors.
Can't nobody guard Kevin Durant.
Can't nobody guard Kevin Durant, but I'm saying you can spell LeBron James. LeBron James doesn't have to guard Kevin Durant from the opening tip. You can put Jay Crowder on him, and Jay Crowder can try to limit him the best way he can. Mm-hmm. And they brought in Jeff Green as well in free agency. So that's the thing where I think Cleveland really improved, and they got a draft pick, you know, from the Celtics in this trade. So that's a great draft pick. We don't know. We all know the Nets going to have a terrible season. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a top draft pick in the NBA draft. So I think the Cavaliers won, and like you said, from the Celtics' perspective, they brought in a guy like Kyrie Irving, who's a bona fide scorer. He's the best finisher at the point guard position in the NBA. Finishing-wise, I think Kyrie is the best. And Danny Ainge had to make a move. Mm-hmm. He had to make a move because Celtics fans were getting impatient with Danny Ainge. And the team that they had currently constructed last year with Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, Jay Crowder, you know, Avery Bradley, they weren't beating the Cavaliers with LeBron James anyway.
It was a good series. It was a great series.
Great? They got beat by 51 game. It wasn't no great series.
I mean, but it was. I like watching that series because Isaiah Thomas came out there in the first few games and balled out. Right after his sister had died, he came out there and put on a show, and the Celtics won, and it was a good series. It wasn't like the Cavaliers just came in and stomped them 4-0.
It was 4-1. It wasn't. And one game the Cavaliers were at one point.
I'm saying it wasn't as just. I'm saying it wasn't disgrace for the season because they won against Cleveland and they had the better record out of the Eastern Conference that whole year. They was the winner leader of that division, so they had a good team. They had a great team schemed around Isaiah Thomas.
It is what it is. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I can't wait. Let's move on. As this weekend we got the Triple G versus Canelo Alvarez fight. It's going to be at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. So what's your expectations for this fight? Who wins? Give me a prediction.
It's going to be a great fight. I can't wait to watch it. I'm not buying it. I bought that Floyd fight. I'm not buying this fight. I'm going to go somewhere and watch this fight, but it's going to be a good fight.
You're going to want to watch, though.
Oh, yeah. You're going to want to watch this because that Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor was a celebrity exhibition fight.
Right.
You know, Floyd played with him the whole time and then beat his ass towards the end of the round. So this is about to be a real fight. Triple G, who everybody is just raving about because he's bigger than, you know, he's a big guy. Canelo having to come up to fight him. And he's never lost, and he's knocking people out. You know, he's got 33 KOs, and he's 37-0, so he's knocking people out. And then there's Canelo, who's 49-1-1 with 34 knockouts. He got one more knockout than Triple G, and his one loss is from the great Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a good fight for sure, but I'm definitely going with Canelo. If you're putting money on this fight, I would put my money on Canelo Alvarez, and I'm a betting man. I bet every day. So I would put my money on Canelo Alvarez to beat Triple G because Triple G's ain't never fought anybody like Canelo. He's never fought as many of the big names like Canelo has. Canelo's fought Floyd, and that was a good fight.
It was.
It was a good fight, and he just won against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Right.
Unanimous decision. That was a big fight. Canelo is used to these big fights.
You can be arguing Canelo was young, too, in that fight against Floyd.
You can make that argument, but...
He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready.
He still lost. He was fighting the greatest fighter, arguably, of all time. But I definitely going with Canelo to win this fight against Triple G. I got it going 11 rounds. Canelo going to knock him out.
I don't see that happening. But when you look at... When you break it down, Triple G got the advantage in the height. Triple G 5'10", Canelo 5'9", real close. Mm-hmm. You know, Triple G 70-inch reach. Canelo 70.5. So they kind of even in that aspect. But... Canelo is significantly younger than Triple G. Canelo 26, Triple G 35. Triple G 37-0, and obviously Canelo 49-1-1. So this is going to be a great fight. You know, Canelo, like you said, the only loss he's had on his resume is to the great Floyd Mayweather, but Triple G undefeated, and he's a power puncher. Like, offensively, in the ring, Triple G is the real deal. He capitalized on mistakes made by opposing boxers, and that's what I'm looking at. I want to see. Is Triple G going to be able to capitalize and knock out Canelo when he comes at him Saturday night?
No.
You don't know. The thing about Triple G is he hasn't had that major big-time fight.
Exactly.
That's the issue I have with Triple G.
That's my whole reason why I got him winning. You know, boxing is a game of experience. Everybody calls it the sweet science of boxing. It's like chess. It's experience. The reason why you could have bet your whole life savings on Floyd Mayweather to beat Conor McGregor is because of the experience. Floyd been doing this for 2 decades. There's no way this guy that ain't really fought in this ring is going to beat Floyd in a boxing ring because it's more than just being a big hitter and being a strong punch. It's more to that. We've seen this happen occasion. So that's why, you know, I got Canelo going to be able to take care of Triple G even though he's bigger.
Yeah, Canelo had 51 fights in his career. Triple G only 37. So, to your point, Canelo got more experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, like I said, Canelo is a great puncher as well. You know, but I think Canelo has a great defensive game. You know, he can make guys miss, and he capitalizes as well. So, both of these guys are power punchers. And I think, honestly, this fight may go the distance. I don't think neither one of these guys going to knock each other out. But, in decision, I got Triple G winning this fight. I think it's going to be a great fight. I think it's going to be fight of the year.
But why do you think Triple G is better than Canelo? Why do you think he has a real legitimate chance to win this fight?
Because I think
he hasn't fought anybody. You can't.
I think he's there to win the scorecards.
He's not a better boxer than Canelo. I don't think.
I don't think he's really had the exposure for us to be able to know.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I think he has a small sample size. That's all I'm saying. We've seen Canelo fight Floyd.
You can't name a fighter he's fought.
I understand that, but I think we got a small sample size for Triple G. So that's what I'm saying. Like, what I'm saying is, I understand what you're saying, but I've seen Canelo fight, and Floyd really. He exploited it. Like, Floyd made him look bad. But Floyd make everybody look bad. That's hard to say. But I'm just saying, I think, you know, Canelo is a great fight. It's going to be a great fight. This is the fight I've been wanting to see, though. I've been saying this, you know, from a box office perspective, you want to see the McGregor and Mayweather fight. From an overall boxing perspective, this is the fight that you want to see Saturday night, T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. It's going to be lit. It's going to be the fight of the year. It's going to be exciting.
Floyd versus McGregor's fight of the year.
This is not the fight of the year. See, that's the thing about you.
That Floyd
you don't
fight
actually
is
like
one
the
of...
product that's being displayed. If you like the product that's being displayed in the boxing ring, you want to see Triple G and Canelo, not McGregor and Mayweather, because that fight wasn't even close.
Hey, I'm a paying customer, and I'm not buying this fight.
That's on you.
So the fight of the year was Conor versus Floyd.
That was not the fight of the year. Stop it. That's ridiculous.
Fight of the decade.
Not at all. But let's move on. And let's do our, give our prediction. Let's start off with the Bengals and Texans. Who are you predicting? And we know you're going to pick the Bengals. So I don't even know why I said who. Why is your reason
we're going to come back to that.
You want to come back to that?
We got two games tonight. One game's going on right now. Oh, we already got your picks. Who did you have winning?
Oh, I had the Vikings.
You had the Vikings and the Broncos winning. I don't think the Vikings going to win this game.
Oh, no. We're going to see what happens.
And if you didn't know, make sure you check us out on B-Wave Radio, because whoever picked the most – I mean, pick the most games wrong. Ooh, touchdown Vikings right now.
Well, I might be wrong.
Whoever picked the most games wrong got to do something real embarrassing next week on air. So that's going to be fun. And you're kind of down in the numbers right now. So
and the team I just
you need the Vikings to win right now.
The team I just picked just scored.
All right, so next week, though, Browns versus Ravens. Who you got?
Ravens. Ravens win this game against the Cleveland Browns. I like DeSean Kizer. I like the way he looked against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he has a promising future. But I think the Ravens defense is going to be too much with Terrell Suggs, Brandon Carr, Ed Weddle in that secondary. They'll be too much for the young quarterback. So I'm picking the Ravens to win that game. 23-21. It's going to be a close game. I got it. Who you got?
I'm going with the Browns beating the Ravens.
Did you go with the Browns last week against the Steelers?
I did.
You ain't learned your lesson yet? That was your upset pick last week.
It was my upset pick, and that was a great upset pick to pick, because what was your upset game of the week? The 49ers were going to beat the Panthers? Okay,
Panthers
so
didn't look that great.
I had a good upset pick. So I'm throwing with the Browns to be able to beat the Ravens. It's another division game, and, you know, it's Hugh Jackson. And I think that they got a lot of good things going in Browns. So I'm going with the Browns. Next game, Bills versus the Panthers. Who you got?
I got the Panthers. I think Cam Newton and the Panthers are going to win at home. They're the home team in this game, I believe. So they'll win at home. I think they'll take care of business. I like Christian McCaffrey and what he brings to that Panthers offense. I think he's going to be securely blanket for Cam Newton. So I'm picking the Panthers to win at home.
I'm going Panthers, too. Next game, Cardinals versus the Colts.
Man, do we even got to pick this game? This game was, these two teams were terrible yesterday.
Who you got?
I'm picking the Cardinals. Okay. I think the Cardinals will beat the Colts because I think the Colts were terrible yesterday. They gave up 46 points to the Rams. Are you serious? Come on now. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe what I was watching. And I'm not so sure if Andrew Luck is going to play in this matchup. But the Cardinals defensively, I think they have a legitimate team on the defensive side of the ball. David Johnson, that's going to be a big injury loss for them for the remainder of the year. But I think they'll
my number one draft pick in my fantasy league injured almost for the rest of the season. And a couple people tried to trade me for him before the season started, and I should have gave him up. I think one person tried to trade me Ezekiel Elliott for him.
No.
And I didn't give him up. Yes.
Wow.
So that was my mistake. But I'm going with the Cardinals to win that game. Next
you deserve
game,
to lose. You deserve to lose in fantasy if you don't give up David Johnson for Ezekiel Elliott.
He's my number one pick. Titans versus Jaguars. Who you going with?
It's going to be a good game, too. Jacksonville was so impressive against the Houston Texans. And I thought Tennessee had a chance against Oakland. But I'm going to roll with the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are going to get the win at home. I think Leonard Fournette, if you give him the football and you lean on him to be able to run the football for you, he can carry you to a win. I'm rolling with Jacksonville over Tennessee. I think Tennessee followed 0-2. And Jacksonville improved to 2-0.
I'm rolling with the Titans.
You got the Titans? Why?
I'm rolling with the Titans because I got the Titans having a great season this year. Marcus Mariota, I got him projected to have a great year this year. They had a bad week this past Sunday. They're going to want to make up for it. You see what Leonard Fournette can do. They're going to game plan for that. So I got the Titans winning that game. Eagles Chiefs Sunday at 1:00. Who you got?
I got the Eagles. I'm taking Carson Wentz over Alex Smith. I think Carson Wentz will have a much better performance than Alex Smith.
You're doing
that
just to prove a point.
Alex Smith's performance was literally like a dead clock. Dead clock right twice a day. Alex Smith never throws 368 yards. That never happens. He's a game manager. I think Carson Wentz is the ultimate competitor. I think Carson Wentz is one of the top young quarterbacks in the NFL, and he really impressed me yesterday against the Washington Redskins. Even though defensively, the Washington Redskins aren't that
good. Who are the Redskins?
But Carson Wentz still
showed. Who are the Redskins, and who did the Chiefs beat Thursday?
He showed improvement.
I'm going with the Chiefs because I'm believing in Alex Smith this year because, to your point, Alex Smith's never been a downfield passer, but he knew that. The coaching staff, the owner said that to him in the offseason. That's why he came out there week one and started throwing that deep pass. That's why he's doing that. So I think he's going to carry that out throughout the whole season because he knows that's what the Chiefs need to make it to that next level. So I got them beating the Eagles.
Yeah, and Kareem Hunt played well last week for the Chiefs.
They found a whole bunch of weapons that they had. So I definitely am going with the Chiefs.
Let's move on. As the New England Patriots is traveling to the Big Easy to take on the New Orleans Saints. Who you got, Patriots or Saints?
I'm rolling with the Patriots because it's Tom Brady. And if you know a real, real competitor, people like to compare Tom Brady to Michael Jordan, but real competitors that got that edge to win when they come off a bad game like that, they blow it up the next game. They don't have two horrible games like that in a row. So I'm rolling with the Patriots to win that game, you know, in big fashion. I'm going with the Patriots.
I think it's
going to
be a high-scoring game. So if you're betting on this football game, take the over. Because I think the Saints and the Patriots are going to put up some points in that dome. But I'm picking the Patriots to win that game. You never see Tom Brady and Bill Belichick struggle 2 weeks in a row. They'll game plan, and they'll be ready to go. And I think the Patriots are going to win this matchup. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. I won't be surprised if they got into the upper 30s. Because the Saints score points in that dome. Drew Brees always put up numbers in that dome. And I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. But I'm going to pick the Patriots to win that game by one touchdown. 37-30. The game going to be like that. 37-30.
Wrong.
You always want to try to prove why I'm wrong.
Vikings-Steelers. Who you got?
Steelers. Steelers win that game. Steelers are the home team in that game. I think the Steelers will play much better than they did against the Browns yesterday. I'm picking Big Ben and the Steelers over Sam Bradford and the Vikings. The Vikings aren't very good.
I'm rolling with the Vikings because the Vikings had an extra week to plan and prepare for this game because their first game got canceled. So, you know, this is their
season. Now they're playing now. They're playing the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
thinking about the Bucks
and Dolphins.
But, you know, I'm still rolling with the Vikings because they're going to look at that tape what the Browns did against the Steelers, figure out how the Browns even had it 18-21 in the first place, figure out what they did right, and I think they're going to be able to execute on that. And I'm telling you, the Steelers, a lot of people got the Steelers as a Super Bowl pick this year. You're wrong. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger is going to last. I'm rolling with the Vikings. And the Vikings have a great defense.
I got to tell you something real quick. You never fail to amuse me. You picked against the Steelers 2 weeks in a row. And you've picked against the Steelers twice in a row. And I know you're going to pick the Bengals when we go on our pick. You can break down why and all this shit later. But you're going to pick the Bengals to win.
Legitimate reasons.
And you picked the Bengals
I picked the Ravens.
The Ravens, they got blanked.
I picked the Browns as my upset of the week.
And then you got the Vikings beating the Steelers?
I had the closest upset of the week game to any of y'all.
Are you serious?
What are you trying to tell me?
Why you keep picking?
I got legit reasons.
Come on, man.
Next game, Bears versus the Buccaneers. Who you got?
I'm going to roll with the Bucs to win that game.
Bucs. I'm rolling with the Bucs. You ain't got to say nothing to that.
Hey, I told you the Bucs might be my most improved team. They're going to win the NFC South this year. So Bucs. I think the Bucs got to go in the right direction.
Got you. Dolphins, Chargers.
Dolphins going to win that matchup. Mm. I think it's going to be a great game. But I think the Dolphins will be able to win that game because of their defense.
I only know two Dolphins fans I ever met in my life. And that one of them's E. Shouts out to E.
Definitely.
And the other one's Ash Cash. Two Dolphins fans I've ever met in my life. I never met nobody who's Dolphins fans, but I'm rolling with the Dolphins just because I'm liking the new Jay Cutler look. And I think that he's going to be able to take off with that offense. He's got familiarity with the coaching staff, so I think he's going to step in. They're going
to
take that game.
Wait a minute. I got to change my mind. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting Jay Cutler's the Dolphins quarterback. I forgot. I really did. And they didn't play week one, so I forgot that he was a quarterback. I want to change my pick. I want the Rivers. I got Philip Rivers. I'm sorry. I got to pick it. I'm sorry. I forgot that Jay Cutler's a quarterback because the Dolphins didn't play.
So just because you remember this Jay Cutler, you going against
him. I forgot. I forgot because week one.
We just talked about this, y'all.
I forgot about it.
Right before we came on, we just talked about Jay Cutler.
No, but you
know
Miami didn't play yesterday because of Hurricane Irma.
But that's not why you forgot, but you knew he was on the Dolphins.
I forgot. I'm picking Philip Rivers in the Chargers. I got to write a change my damn pick. Right in the middle of it, I'm changing it. I'm sorry.
We forgot.
I'm picking
for that's how you know. I mean, if you listen, that's how you know Trey. He just picks off the whim. You know
no,
what I mean?
I don't.
He just picks. Like, I'm a
roll with them. I forgot they come with the quarterback.
Yeah, here's something you said. He'd be like, you know what? Never, man. I'm just going to roll with them.
Because I forgot. They didn't play yesterday. I forgot. I haven't seen the Dolphins since last year.
Anyways.
We talked about Jay Cutler 20 minutes ago.
We talked for at least 20 minutes, too. Next game, Jets, Raiders.
Come on now.
Raiders. I'm rolling with the
Let's
Raiders.
Let's move on. Nothing to talk about.
Redskins and Los Angeles Rams.
Redskins, Los Angeles Rams. This is going to be my upset pick of the week.
Because
I think the Redskins are favored in this game. So
no, the Rams are favored by 2.5.
Wow, I'm wrong. Okay, so I'm picking the favorite. I'm picking the Rams to win this game. Because I was impressed yesterday with Jared Goff.
So it was your upset of the week. Okay.
Think about it. Come on now. Stop playing. Seriously. You thought the Rams would be a favorite of the Redskins?
I mean, I don't know what you be thinking, Trey, because you switched
the Redskins.
So
the only reason they did this yesterday because the Rams beat the Colts so bad, they end up favoring them over the Redskins. Coming to the season, you know damn well the damn Rams would be a favorite of the Redskins. Stop it.
So who you got winning?
I said I got the Rams winning. But I'm saying initially I thought it was going to be where the Redskins were favored. That's why I said that.
Okay, I'm rolling with the Rams because I like how they putting up 40 points on the board. Any offense that can put up 40 points in an opening week, you know, they ready, they embracing a new city, and I think the Rams going to have a decent year this year. So
that won't happen
with
again.
I'm rolling with the Rams. That could happen against the Redskins. Next game, 49ers versus Seahawks.
Seattle will bounce back. They'll be at home.
You picked the 49ers to beat the Panthers last week. So
I did.
So is that your upset of the week? Because Cam Newton happened. Because according to you, the Seahawks, you know.
Offense, they are terrible.
Okay.
Offensively. But they'll bounce back against the 49ers. They'll be playing in front of the 12th man. They'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I'm rolling with the Seahawks too. Mark me down for that. And then Packers-Falcons. Your Packers going into Atlanta, and that stadium looks beautiful, by the way. What do you think they're going to do against the Super Bowl appearing Atlanta Falcons?
Let's break this matchup down. Key matchup for me. I'm serious. Let's break this down. The key matchup for me is going to be the Packers defensive backs against the Atlanta high power offense, including Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu. That's going to be the key for me. Because we got to be able to get defensive stops. Because last year, the Falcons embarrassed us in an NFC Championship game.
They did.
They literally embarrassed us. So I think Aaron Rodgers got a chip on
his
shoulder.
They embarrassed you. I remember, if y'all remember, any of y'all was listening, when they lost that game, they put up a missing poster on Facebook. They had Trey's picture on the missing sign because he was nowhere to be found. If you don't know this about Trey, he doesn't watch his Packers games with anybody.
I don't.
He doesn't want to watch it with anybody.
Yeah, I don't. I don't watch the Packers.
He's one of them type guys. He don't even want to watch it around y'all because he don't even want to hear what you got to say bad about him. He only wants good thoughts around the Packers. So.
Ain't it funny that you said yesterday after Andy Dalton had that terrible performance that you didn't even answer no phone calls? I texted you yesterday immediately during the game. I didn't get no response from you all day yesterday.
So about 7 o'clock. I responded to everybody around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
Come on now.
You were missing for about 2 weeks.
Stop it, man.
It's a whole different story. But I'm rolling with. So who you rolling with?
We need to finish. Go ahead and finish. Packers going to win this game. It's going to be a high-scoring game as well. I think the Packers win 31-27. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to send a message that the Packers are going to be the team to beat in the NFC. And I think defensively, if we can get timely stops, because you can't stop the Falcons offense all the way around, not in the entire game, but I think if we get timely stops, get the ball back for the Packers offense, that'd be a recipe for success for the Packers. And I think Aaron Rodgers pulls it out, 31-27.
Wrong, Trey. Wrong once again. I'm rolling with the Falcons because, like you said, the Green Bay Packers defense is suspect. Suspect. And the Atlanta Falcons offense is the complete opposite. The complete opposite. Matt Ryan, who you said before the show, is an elite quarterback. Just like your boy Aaron Rodgers. Julio Jones, great receiver. Devontae Freeman. I mean, we all know that Atlanta Falcons got the whole package. They embarrassed y'all last year.
That was last year.
They're coming off of a horrible loss in the Super Bowl this past year. They're on a vengeance this year, I think, to make it back to the Super Bowl. So I'm rolling with the Falcons to beat your Green Bay Packers.
It's funny because Ha-Ha Clint Dick said it best. He said that was the 2016 Packers. This is the 2017 Packers. Mm. We moved on.
That was deep.
NFC Championship game last year.
That was so deep. We moved on.
Like, you have no kind of credibility when it comes to your picks, dude. You picked Trey. Seattle against us last week. Trey. We beat Seattle. You picked the Browns and beat the Steelers.
It was a close game.
And the Steelers beat the Browns. And you picked it against the Steelers.
And y'all game was sloppy.
Well, we won.
But it's not horrible picks now. You have lost all credibility in your picks, but we're not even going to get into that.
I have not, but all right. We'll see what happens.
Next game, Monday night, Lions versus the Giants. Next Monday night, who you got?
Lions. Did the Lions beat the Giants at home?
With Odell Beckham?
With Odell Beckham returning, I think the Lions still win. I think the Lions really showed me something yesterday against the Cardinals. They really got after Carson Palmer. You know, they really put a lot of pressure on him. I think the Lions defensively have improved. Shout out to Teon Green, you know, Bearcats, you know, former Bearcats player, alumni. But I think the Lions are going to win this game. It's going to be a close game, but I think the Lions are going to win on the late field goal.
I'm rolling with the New York Giants, my Super Bowl pick to make it to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. With Odell Beckham back next week, it's going to bring that confidence back to the squad. That resilience back to the squad because the team's going to come in feeling, you know, we could have beat the Cowboys. We didn't have our best player on the team. Arguably the most prolific player in the league. So, you know, and it's a home game. I'm definitely rolling with the Giants. Odell Beckham going to have a great game. Eli to have a great game. I'm even expecting Brandon Marshall to make some big catches just because you got to understand, Odell being on the field just opens up so much more. So I'm rolling with the Giants in that game as well. Now for the game of the week.
That's a joke.
The real game joke. Of the week. Thursday night.
Stop it.
Primetime football.
Game of the week.
We got the Houston Texans versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Both teams started out the season 0-1. Cincinnati's favored by 4 points. Who are you rolling with for Thursday night?
The Houston Texans will beat the Cincinnati Bengals.
Why?
Thursday night. and the Bengals will fall to 0-2. Well, 0-3 because they're going to lose to the Packers next week. So they'll be 0-2 after Thursday. And I think the Houston Texans are going to win simply because Bill O'Brien made the right decision by inserting Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson is going to be the difference. I think he'll make two or three plays against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it's going to be a defensive game. I don't see this being a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be a defensive matchup. I'm picking the Texans to beat the Cincinnati Bengals at Paul Brown Stadium Thursday night, 17-14. It's going to be a close matchup, and every single time the Bengals play the Houston Texans, the Bengals come up small. They never play the Texans well. The last time they played the Texans at Paul Brown Stadium, the Bengals were 8-0, and they lost to the Houston Texans right here at Paul Brown Stadium. It's going to happen again. Texans, 17-14. Bengals fall to 0-2 on the season.
I knew you were going to pick the Texans. We didn't have to hear all of that. But I'm rolling with the Bengals. And this is why.
Why am I not surprised?
First off, come on. First off, I'm definitely feeling like our offense this week is going to severely outplay Houston's offense this week. Severely outplay. If Tom Savage is playing or Deshaun Watson is playing, it's our defense against either one of them quarterbacks is a mismatch. It's a mismatch. I feel like our offense is going to take off this week. Andy Dalton's going to lick his wounds. Joe Mixon, Jeremy Hill, everybody's going to get back on pace. Offense is way better than Houston.
You said that last week.
Offense is way better than Houston.
How are you going to say they're better than Houston? They had zero last night. And Houston, they scored seven. Like you said, Houston scored one touchdown.
Like you said, this is a new week. This is a new week. So let me ask you, it's a new game plan. And our defense, I feel, like I said, they're going to shut them down. I got the Bengals winning at home 24-10.
Oh, you're ridiculous. You're ridiculous. So you really think that the Bengals are going to be able to put up 24 points on that tough Texas defense. Texas defensively are tough. Jacksonville, that never happens. Jacksonville yesterday, they played great. Leonard Fournette had the game of his life so far.
It happens.
But what I'm saying is,
it was his first game. What you mean game of his life?
Because the problem is, Andy Dalton had five turnovers yesterday against Baltimore's defense. And I think the Texas defense is a little bit better. No. Just a little bit. I believe that. You got Jadeveon Clowney still. Still got J.J. Watt. I think the Houston Texans is going to put on the show defensively. Like I said, it's going to be a low-scoring game, 17-14. And I think Deshaun Watson is going to make enough plays for the Texans to win. I think DeAndre Hopkins will outplay A.J. Green because, yeah, Andy Dalton played terrible yesterday, but A.J. had three receptions, 41 yards. He was a no-show. He was a no-show according to A.J. Green standards. I think DeAndre Hopkins will have a better game than A.J. Green on Thursday night.
Of course
night.
It was a no-show. Like you said, Andy Dalton had a horrible game. The whole offense was horrible. Everybody was a no-show. It wasn't A.J. A.J.'s a great receiver. If the Bengals come out and Andy Dalton has the game that we're all expecting him to have.
Who? Who are? We? Who? Don't say we. We is plural. It's not we. We not expecting that. I ain't expecting that. You expecting that because you're a delusional fan. Stop it.
Me and a whole bunch of other people, we are expecting the Bengals to come out here and, you know, learn from the mistakes and have a good game. I'm rolling with the Bengals.
Okay. We'll see what happens. They need it. Is this a must win? If they lose this game, is it over?
This is a big game. Because we got the Packers next week. But, hey, in the grand scheme of things, it's always just one game. I've seen teams start out 0-2, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4 and make it to the Super Bowl. So, we're not worried about anything until we see some consistent, horrible play. For right now, we're still confident. And, like I said, I'm still be downtown Thursday night, tailgating, supporting our team. So, come on down Thursday, hang out with the Wisecracks crew. We're going to be down there.
Well, we had that part of the show where it's Trey's Corner. And I asked somebody I want to talk about. Kevin Durant had a quote talking about Kobe Bryant. And they asked him, they said, you know, did you learn anything playing with Kobe Bryant? And Kevin Durant said, Kobe is a god to me, basketball-wise. He said, yeah, anytime you touch the ball, shoot it. That's what Kobe taught Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to me. We talk about and compare players. We talk about comparing LeBron and Jordan and comparing, you know, how great and how close LeBron's legacy is to being the Jordans. I don't, but LeBron fans out there do. Because to LeBron fans, they talk about LeBron like he's better than MJ already. They talk about LeBron like he's better than, you know, Bill Russell and Magic Johnson. Guys have won championships. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But what's so funny and what's so amazing to me is that we forget about the great Kobe Bryant. It's like somehow, some way Kobe Bryant get lost in the fold. A five-time champion. You know, he's a legitimate all-star every single season he's played in the NBA. And he's the hardest working player I've ever seen. He's the toughest shot maker. Like, say whatever you want about MJ clutch. But Kobe makes more tougher shots than MJ. Kobe made a lot of tough shots in his career. And I think Kobe don't get the respect that he deserves because LeBron fans want to overlook him for Jordan. He ain't even better than Kobe yet. Because Kobe would have won game 3 in Cleveland against the Golden State Warriors. Kobe is the ultimate closer. And that's the reason why LeBron could never be better than Kobe, because Kobe is a better closer than LeBron overall. And I think he just don't get enough credit. I just think Kobe Bryant always get overlooked for some reason. And I think most of it is because Kobe's not a people person. People don't really like Kobe like they like LeBron. Everybody like LeBron James. Everybody's a fan of LeBron James. You know, he's a great father. He's a great, you know, fan of the game. He's a great player in the NBA. He's never got no trouble off the court. So I think he get a lot of his credit because of him as a person. People just like LeBron overall. And I think people discredit Kobe because Kobe's not a people person. Kobe don't give a damn what you, me, Stephen A., Max Kellerman, he don't care about what nobody said. Kobe go out there and give 110% effort, and Kobe Bryant is the next greatest to Jordan, not LeBron James. I just want to throw that out there because Kevin Durant had those extra comments saying that he is a basketball god to him.
That was beautiful, Trey. That was beautiful. But, you know, the one thing I got to say about it, I know it was your segment or whatever, but I don't think Kobe Bryant's overlooked. I don't think Kobe Bryant's overlooked. I think people respect that Kobe Bryant is a great, one of the greatest of all time. So I don't think anybody's overlooking Kobe except the younger generation, yeah, which I can give them a vouch for because all they know is LeBron.
But I want to say this. Think about it. In the 2001 NBA Finals, Kobe was 22 years old. 22 years old. He averaged 30 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, and 6 assists per game. And he shot 56% from the floor. This was in the NBA Finals. This was through the NBA Finals and an entire NBA playoffs that year. I think Kobe Bryant get overlooked to some degree by some of the younger fans out there. I do understand what you're saying from that perspective because they didn't see Kobe when we was watching Kobe through high school. But I remember seeing Kobe put up 80 points against the Toronto Raptors. A game where they trailed throughout the entire game. If it wasn't for Kobe, the Lakers would have got blew out the floor probably about 100. Seriously, but Kobe Bryant is the man. And I think he's next in line after Jordan. And then LeBron James, you know, after Kobe. That's how I look at it. It's MJ, Kobe, then LeBron James and the totem pole. So I look at it.
And Melo at the very bottom. It was a good show today, Trey. You know, I had fun chopping it up with you, being able to prove you wrong. Usually this week you got me. Like I said, this week you got me. The Bengals, we got shut out. Your Packers won. I can't say anything, but, you know, it was a good time. I had a good time.
Great show, man. Hey, can't wait for college football this weekend. Going to be some great matchups, too. You know, like I said, that OSU game and, you know, Baker Mayfield with Oklahoma, you know, I was disappointed in OSU. I thought OSU was going to play much better than they did. I'm not an OSU fan whatsoever, but I expected more out of JT Barrett and the crew. But I can't wait to see who wins this Heisman, though, between Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson balling out. Seriously, for Louisville, he balling out. So, great show. Wise Guys, ASAP. You guys know sports.
Follow us on Facebook @Wise Guys.
On Peace Twitter, out. Wise Guys _OH. Have a good one.